Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Oshikaya Speaks. I'm still your host, Wana Oshikaya. As you can see, guess it's right. How do we start this? First, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you are subscribed to this channel, you know, Wana Oshikaya. I'm trying to get to 10,000 subscribers. Make sure you subscribe so that I can eat. Okay. And yeah, today, actually, before we introduce our guest, this is Gen Next Season 2. We're starting the new season on Gen Next. And Season 1 was such a success. I had some of the most amazing artists that you could think about. There was Bloody Civilian, there was Cold, Tariq, Majid. There's a bunch of people. And it was great. And today we're starting Season 2 with one of my favorite artists in the last two years. Wizard Chan.
Thank you very much.
So we've had a conversation before this started, so we're besties already. Yeah, but thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, man.
Always. How are you feeling? How are you doing? What's going on?
I'm not feeling good, but we're here for you.
Yeah, he told me that he's really not having a great morning, but he's here today and I'm happy that he didn't cancel. So thank you for actually putting all that aside and still showing up, because it's important to show up, right? Even on the days when you don't want to.
Very important, mostly because of first impression.
Yeah.
I don't need to have that bad impression. Like, oh, this guy just canceled.
Last minute. Like, how can that?
you just look at me like, who is this guy?
I mean, like, people cancel. There's people cancel last minute. People do that a lot. And it is very stressful. Last year, I don't think I've said this on camera, but last year, when a lot of people were canceling, I just stopped shooting. Like, I just literally stopped shooting. And I said, I'm not shooting anymore because everybody's trying to take me for granted. I'm not doing this anymore. Industry wants to frustrate you, but I guess.
But sometimes, you know, like, I know that if you hear this, their stories, maybe.
I mean, sometimes you understand, but sometimes it just doesn't make sense, you know, because it's like we planned then 2 hours or 1 hour before the shoot. You're telling me that, oh, something happened. It didn't happen yesterday or earlier in the morning. It's now.
I get.
So it's just crazy. But it's what it is, Shad. These are the ups. Those are the downs. Yeah. There are a lot of ups to it. And also, how are you feeling, Sha? How is life treating you? How is Nigeria treating you generally? It's tough for everybody, but how is it going for you?
Nigeria. I always talk about that. Nigeria treating someone.
How is Nigeria treating you?
It's not treating anybody now. Treatment is like making you feel good. It's damaging us, but we're good.
You have to manage yourself.
I mean, we're good. I can't complain, but...
You can actually, but you just choose not to.
Yeah, because I'm grateful for where I am. It's better than
where you were.
Where I was. That's the only reason why I said I can't complain.
Okay. I mean, now that you've said that, might as well. Can you just talk to me about your journey so far? I feel like we've never had a conversation, so I wouldn't know. I've tried to search around, but I didn't want to do too much searching because obviously I wanted us to have a conversation. But what was the journey like for you before? Let's even talk about like just growing up. Growing up like for you?
First of all, I'm the last of five children. I know a lot of artists will be like, I came from a very poor place. Nah, not me. I'm not going to lie.
We thank God for that.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't come from like a super, super rich family. But my parents were very okay. Everything I needed as a child, I got. That's for a fact. Like, there's nothing I wanted as a child I didn't get. Nothing. So, born in River State, Okrika. I'm from Okrika. And grew up in Port Harcourt.
I was about to say, did you grow up in Port Harcourt?
Yeah, I grew up in Port Harcourt. I mean, you can tell now.
How can you tell, though?
From the music.
Fair, but aside from that, like, you can't really tell. I mean, you can tell that there's something different. Mm-hmm. But, like, it would just... I mean, it makes sense that you're from Port Harcourt, because Port Harcourt is breeding some of the most amazing talents out of the country.
The ones that people have not heard, they are crazy.
Like, so. I was going to... It's one of the questions I was going to ask. I was going to tell you to put me onto some of your favorites, like, Port Harcourt artists. But I guess we'll come there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But, what was growing up in Port Harcourt like? Because everybody says it's difficult.
For me, it's quite different, right? And my own growing up made me see life in a very different way, like I said. So there was one funny thing here. My dad had money when I was very young, but he decided that we're going to live in like a hood.
Okay. Why?
So like, my dad is like, he doesn't really care about us. I don't know what his main reason is or was, but I was, maybe one day I'll ask him to understand better.
Yeah.
Because we could have been staying in like some GRA or something. Mm-hmm. Like he built the house in a place called Burkri. Okay. We had cultism and stuff. Great. Some militants lived around and stuff like that. But I really appreciate that. I appreciate that moment, those like times, you get me? Because you're upstairs. It's more like I'm living La Vida.
Yeah.
But like I'm seeing the ghetto. So I was living in two worlds.
Mm.
I had the chance to like have friends that understood what's not having enough. Right. Even as much as I was eating 3 square meals and stuff like that, I still was seeing people that was happening, living in bachelor houses and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I really did not have a lot of experience growing up in Port Harcourt, like as a Port Harcourt, Port Harcourt boy. The reason people come and say, oh, we see this thing, we go fight this. I didn't do that because, my dad would always tell you, stay in the house, read your books, go to school. I was a memo. We would always come and play football with some kids and stuff like that. Yeah, so Port Harcourt for me was chill because I was just living stuff like that.
Yeah, the first person I'm actually hearing say that Port Harcourt was chill, like growing up. But yeah, obviously,
No, don't get me wrong.
No, obviously, I'm saying like for you.
Yeah, but like remember 2007, there was this war.
Oh, shit.
That was happening. Literally, we had to leave our house.
Crazy.
Like, like, it's a serious thing. I'm not joking. Like, woke up one morning sleeping upstairs and my dream, I'm hearing like the house is vibrating, like the last floor. My mom came, slapped me and my elder brother. Like, what? Can't you put your head down? Shooting gun, and this thing is your train dynamite. Like, a serious fight started in 2007. That's crazy. Was so bad, we had to run away because, like, that was like the war zone. We ran to like some hotel, changed our names. Just crazy. That's
serious?
What I was looking at my dad like, so this guy, bad guy like this. We changed our name, we're not allowed to speak our language.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You really needed to be away from that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I experienced that. I've seen things, fights, cultism, clash, I've seen all those things, but it's not like I was involved in them for me to not tell you. Like the adrenaline rush that happens when you, but like we see them, we know that they're happening. We hear news. This guy that died, Soboma George, it's my neighbor, he just lives back of me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The day they killed him, I was thinking we're playing football this street.
Why are you laughing?
because like it's funny at the same time that. Like, that's how I grew up. I grew up around most of all these people.
Crazy.
That's where I'm making headlines, you know.
Whoa.
So my judge was just my neighbor. That, you know, Bonner Boys, they killed him not far from my house. Around there, he's my neighbor. Like, you see, like that's where I grew up.
That's crazy.
So you can imagine you're from an okay family, but like seeing the ghetto things happening.
Like right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, so like.
Just like, why are you doing this to me, daddy?
But it was fun because it was more like watching movie. Like, you know, we're not allowed to go out that much. Yeah. We just go upstairs.
And you see.
Everything happened.
Crazy.
So beautiful. Beautiful chaos.
What's the major difference between like living there and then living in Lagos? Obviously to you, what's that? Living in Port Harcourt and then living in Lagos. What's that major difference to you, something that stands out to you basically?
So it is, I didn't really live my life in Port Harcourt, I would say so, because you know, like I said, I don't count my childhood like I lived in Port Harcourt. I really did not know places.
Yeah.
I went to boarding school, it was a secondary school. After that, I went to Ghana, stayed in Ghana like 5 years. I really did not like.
You learned their language? small.
The important ones, you know, they say when you want to learn someone's language, learn the insult first. So I can insult somebody in cheap. So yeah, but the little time I spent in PhD, the difference is like Lagos is just chaotic. Port Harcourt is, Lagos is chaotic in the sense of like population and those people, Port Harcourt is real chaos when chaos comes. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Like, you can tell me now that boys are fighting around this place in Lagos and I will just drive and pass. I don't really care.
But it's not the same in Port Harcourt.
Yeah, but if I hear that in Port Harcourt more, like, I don't ever see him. I just stay in there. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, Lagos is chaotic. But like, it's stressful. Port Harcourt is like free road, good road, everywhere.
When they say chaos.
But like when that chaos wants to start, it's like you just have to like, you don't have to check it out.
You just don't be there.
Yeah,
you don't want to be caught there.
Yeah, that's the thing. But it's not like you wake up and you see somebody doing shooting. No, it's not the way some people are portraying it in their mind. Or you just go to Port Harcourt, they'll just shoot you. Bah, bah. It's not like that. Some people think it's an action film. Why?
I'm crying. Okay, so let's talk about the music now. Mm. I feel like your music is different. Like you say it, everybody says it. Like everybody that is a fan or is a chance says that the music is different. One thing that stands out is the music. What do you think the audience connects to the most in terms of the music?
The most.
I can tell you what I connect to the most.
Tell me.
But let me hear what you have to say.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, but what do you hope for the audience to connect to?
So it's kind of like changed over time.
Okay.
At first it was my lyrics. I think I've learned not to say I'm a lyricist. I make quotes and I pass messages.
Yeah.
At first it was that, but after that, after a while, it started changing to I want people to understand where I'm from. Like it's so important to me that because you know, sometimes I'm just looking at my comment section and somebody will just come from nowhere and say stuff like, he's an evil person, he's doing some incantations.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm looking. And I go to the person's profile, like, the person's Nigerian, and I'm like, shame on you, man. Shame on you that you don't know that Ijaw people exist and we are actually like big.
Yeah.
We have Ijaw in Ondo states.
Yeah.
Down to like major part of the south. And you think, like, I'm speaking my language and you think you can just talk down on it because you do not understand it. Naturally, the Ijaw language, when you're singing with it, is very powerful because of the way we sing. You know, it carries a certain type of, like, strength. And trust me, I'm not the best at even enjoying my language. Like, my tradition, I never used to enjoy it. My parents would tell you, I did not wear traditional clothes all my life until when I shot a song video. I didn't used to be proud. This is the truth. I'm lucky that my parents made sure that we knew how to speak the language, you know. But after some time, I understood the importance of, this is where I'm from, I can't run from it, man. So like, before it was lyrics, it's still lyrics because at the end of the day, I want people to like connect with what I'm saying. But I just wish that people would just understand that there is more to Nigeria than just the tribes that people know. And what's your own?
Honestly, I was going to say like the storytelling and the lyricism. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like it's still, that's obviously like the
stronghold.
Yeah. Like I can feel the music. You're helping me feel the music. And I feel like that's like one common thing that I've noticed between like a lot of the artists that I've come out from Port Harcourt that I listen to, even Burna as well.
Yeah.
Burna Boy, even YP and Omale, exactly. Like it's always that connection. Like is that unfiltered truth in the music that like I think a lot of people connect to the most, especially myself.
So what
creates like all these spiritual influences? I guess you said it from like where you come from and things like that, but all these spiritual influences, because I feel like your music is very, very spiritual.
Yeah.
So what creates all these spiritual influences in your music or on your music?
Sometimes, you know, we were speaking about something before we started.
Yeah.
You just grew up.
Yeah.
You get me? You just grew up.
Fair enough.
So I will start by saying I just grew up. Mm. I became more, I couldn't lie to myself anymore.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're just this young guy thinking, ah, what is good? I beg, who doesn't live life? Then life happens to you.
Mm.
Then you become, you sit up. So I think mine started because I wasn't always making music like this, but my story was always on point. Even when I made love songs, even when I make any type of music, everybody knows Wizard will always put down his story. What happened is going to be there. But you know, spiritual music started from almost dying.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like telling me the story?
Okay, so I almost died twice in the space of like 2-3 months. Yeah, the first one was a friend of mine. He had a C300 car. So basically, I was a copper in Sokoto. That's where I served.
Okay.
And a friend of mine had this car, C300 Benz, and his girlfriend came to see him. And I was to take them to the airport for her to go back to Abuja.
Yeah.
So that was me driving. There was a soldier at the front seat, and himself and his girlfriend were at the back. And she was late to the airport. And this was me on like running on like 800. I don't usually speed, right?
Mama.
I was running 100. And I noticed northern roads are so big. But I decided, oh, you see these rocks and all this. Just speeding. And the back, one of the back tires just went out.
Mama.
I'm sure like that mark is still on that road till now. Because it's scarred the road. So.
Damn.
We went out and like, the rest is history. I can't start explaining how and what happened and blah, blah, blah. But, like, thank God we didn't just hear that 2 coppers, 1 soldier, and a girl died. That kind of story. But, like,
thank God for that.
That one passed. And still trying to recover from that one mentally. And COVID hit.
Mm.
And COVID hit. So one day I wasn't feeling too good. And I called my brother. My brother is a doctor in Germany.
Mm, yeah,
so nice. I called him. I was like, yo, I'm not feeling too good. I was like, I'll just go to the clinic, let me check your parameters. You know, maybe just give you something or whatever. And yeah, I was like, oh, let me go to a private clinic, you know. I mean, it's private clinic, should be better, right? I got there to this private clinic. Long story cut short, check my parameters, everything was okay, but they had to put me on drip. Doctor said they put me on drip. Oh, so I'm crashing in the hospital, right? So my guys let them drive back home, go get their stuff, so they'll come steal me in the hospital. And I'm all, my nurse to try kill me. Yeah, I'll just put it like that. The whole hospital, nobody was there, just one nurse and one weird looking nurse guy like that. Yeah. Kept on injecting me, overdosed me.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Like, My chest is literally was gone at some point. So it was so crazy. Thank God my guys came back. I can't be explaining the story
crazy.
The last thing that happened, she kept on giving me, last thing that happened, because they kept on trying to call my brother, and this was like 1 a.m., 2 a.m.-ish.
Yeah.
So like everybody was crashing. So called my brother, and we were calling all our doctor friends. Like when I started having this panic attack, and you know, then one of my doctor friends, Dr. Ebi, picked up the call and a video call. They're like, Maxwell, they die. You what's in the house? Like, what would they do, you know? And they said, turn the camera, I let him see. And I turned the camera to me, and this nurse was giving me some injection down there. She was giving like asthmatic drug to my system, and I'm like, and before then, she had like pumped like some certain things to me when this was running around. Like, I couldn't move. I couldn't. Like, I was actually, at some point, my guys thought I was dead because I dropped. And I was hearing them cry, Maxwell, don't die, Jesus. Long story, I don't want to go into details of it because it disturbs me sometimes.
It's very disturbing. Talking about that's kind of crazy. I'm so sorry.
It still
about
gives
that.
Me, like, I can't go to like hospital. Like, if I go to hospitals like this,
The trauma is crazy.
Yeah, it's still there.
I'm so sorry about that.
It messed up a lot of things for me. Like, really messed up a lot of things for me. And it's passed now. But, you know, at that time, I was like, I saw death in my eyes. I won't lie. Like, I literally believed I was dead that day. I actually believed it, but I was so, it was sad for me because I felt like, how am I going to die in a foreign land? Where what are my friends going to explain to my parents? They're going to say, these boys, they've used this person for Yahoo. All these talks that come online. That, like, that, those are the things that were bothering me at that point in time. You know, I was felt like, oh man, I'm too young. I don't even have a family of my own. Because I'm always like this family guy. What up? I don't have a kid. I don't have anything. I haven't achieved anything. Like, those were the thoughts that were running through my mind at that moment. And when I started getting myself, because it took me like over like 2 months before like the drugs started wearing off my body properly. And I said, I just was like, okay, what's to this life? Than just to say your truth. Just say, people like, I could have just died that day and you would have never known with a chance. So while I'm still here, I would just say anything I like.
But yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, I would just say anything I like. If I feel like this is wrong, I would say it in my music. I would never come online to talk. Everybody know me. I don't like that online thing. But I would put it into my music. I like giving the advices I feel like I can give. Sometimes, you know, there are some things that speak to you in your ears. I'm not going to go into them. People come to my conversation and come and say that we said it again. So, but spirituality is something that I kind of like found myself inside. I can't explain it to anybody.
It's just what it is.
It's just what it is. My choruses, I sing in my language. I don't write them.
They just come.
They just come. I can't explain it.
It just comes.
He's here. You can ask him if I want to record that. Most of the time, I tell everybody to leave the studio.
Why? So you can just have your space.
Yeah, and like
be your own zone.
I call it teme. Like, it's teme, basically. Like, it's called spirit. Teme in my language means spirit. So, like, I feel like it's an aura. Yeah, it just comes with it. So
that's nice. I mean, like, it's so convincing. Like, this is so convincing. The music is actually spiritual. No matter how much you want to look at it, it doesn't have to be explainable. It is spiritual. Like, it actually, sometimes, you feel the music. Energy, you feel the emotion. Exactly. Like, the aura, the energy, like you said. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. So, basically, do you have any like, musical influences right now?
Right now?
Right now. Influence yourself.
What do you mean by right now? What do you mean by
like,
right
do you
now?
Draw from like anybody right now? Do you have people that you look up to? Do you have people that influence your sound in any way?
So the people I look up to in music are like, they don't really like, they don't like active right now.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. So like Damian Marley.
Okay.
You know, because of the way he tells his stories, you know. I kind of like understand the pathway a bit, so I can. I know how deep he is. If you put Damian with any rapper, that rapper is not going to body Damian. That's fact. Go and check it. Distant relative, him and Nas.
Okay.
Do you know how good Nas is?
I swear.
But like, okay, let's give the biggest one everyone knows, Patience. Savani, Savani. And listen to what Damian said and listen to Nas. You'll be like, this guy is not even a rapper, but like, he's competing with this guy. So Damian, Two-Face.
Okay.
Two-Face is the because I listen to a lot of old Two-Face songs, like so much, and like in Nigeria, it's my own goat in Nigeria.
I love it.
It's my own goat in Nigeria. I'm not even going to cap about that. Wyclef.
Okay.
Because of the passion he has in the vocals. Ah, Samona, all those. Yeah, I like it. Miriam Makeba of South Africa, she's lit.
Okay.
Burna Faso, I like anything African local sound. Then I also like to listen to like my local music to them. Okay. There's this music we call Tekawarinime. That's prayer house songs.
Okay.
Like it's like something like, how would I put it? My church that I grew up.
Okay.
We have places that I go to, like a place called Wilderness, like sand. You sit down there with no slippers and they are singing the songs. And it's like, it's very spiritual. So
I can imagine.
Yeah. So imagine, how I like to explain to people is, imagine this room now.
Okay.
Yeah. And they lock us up here, and they put like a deadly gas here, and we all know we're gonna die, right? And at this point that we are now, we all just believe that the only thing that's going to help us is God.
Is God.
And we believe that we want to sing for Him to come and help us.
Do something.
I'm not going. You're not going to be telling me I'm going off key.
You just that's sing it as it
we
is.
We will sing the last breath you have to make sure that God better comes down to save me.
Because I beg.
And the thing is, at that moment, for me, is when you get the most soulful sound, oh, vulnerability. It's like love. Mm. Spirituality to me is like love. Like, you have to be vulnerable to access it at its best.
That's very interesting, actually.
So, yeah.
I hear that. So, let's talk about Port Harcourt and the people that are coming out of Port Harcourt that you listen to or that you're enjoying. Because, like I said, Port Harcourt is a hot spot right now. Mm. It's a hub. They're brewing talents. So, what are some of the people that, like, you basically listen to from there? Might be underground, might also be, like...
I listen to Omar Leo because, I mean, Omar.
He gets it.
Like, get me, Omar, man. His music is... People call it Afro depression.
I find that term very offensive. I don't know. It's just very. I don't know. Like this, somebody saying like this, somebody at his most vulnerable. Like you are. Like, do you think this is a joke?
Oh my god!
I mean, he has said that he doesn't find it offensive. Yeah. So, who am I to be vexing about?
Like, yeah. Well, like, you see, Omar can express emotions. Mostly emotions that have to do with heartbreaks in a way that you would understand it even if you've never experienced it. Yeah. If you truly understand how he's making it or what he's saying and stuff. So I love Omar. I love Odogwu Burna now.
Burna boy.
Burna, you know, Burna's music. You can't even deny, even if you don't like him.
Yeah, he's undeniable.
You can't deny that music. That's one thing. A lot of people who are Jaboslas. I like a Jaboslas. For underground artist, there's this guy. His name is Bray.
Okay.
I'm sure you hear about
him. Make sure and check him out. I'm going to make sure I check him out. Actually.
His name is Bray. On Instagram, Bray the Badger.
Okay.
His music is also very different. So let's think of like a Chronics. Mixed with some, I don't know, some old jazz singer. So I don't know, but
let's check him out.
Yeah, just check him. You will love him. There is nothing anyone is with them. Your taste of music, you will love him. I personally do believe that he's a... Because I've seen him read books. So I personally do believe that he's a better songwriter than I am. Yes.
I mean, we have to well, listen to
you know, music is opinion based.
Yeah. So exactly.
Maybe the way I make my lyrics is what you enjoy.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, it's very opinion based.
But like when it comes to like education, like who knows
you're right.
Book? That guy.
That's how you write.
He's savvy book. You get me? And I'm not going to deny he's very he's book smart. Me, I take myself like I'm life smart.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that side of smartness.
That's the most important side.
Because in the real world, you won't find
that. Buku is not your I can't believe you just said that.
His body will be fine.
Real, that's so real.
You know, I'll be surviving from regime to regime. See, it is that Port Harcourt was like beautiful artist, and once about Port Harcourt is that you never know what to expect from the next kind of person that's coming up. I mean, you can go down from Duncan Mighty. I also love his music; it's one of my inspirations. I have his vocal texture too. You can go from Duncan Mighty. You can go to Burna Boy. Different.
Yeah.
You can go bring Omale. Different. Ajeboslas. Different. Dandizi. Different. Me. Different.
Completely like.
Like we don't.
The diversity.
Yeah,
is crazy.
There's no such thing. You don't see two type of people coming out from PH, if you notice it.
Yeah.
So whoever is coming out next from Port Harcourt, that person will be another breed. I can assure you.
I'm patient. Like I'm ready to see what can come out of Port Harcourt. And because I feel like I always say that we've not scratched the surface of Afrobeats, like Afropop, and what exactly our Nigerian music is. We've not even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
So by the time I'm saying now, I'm saying Port Harcourt is a hotspot, by the time it becomes like a proper hotspot, it's going to be undeniable.
Then have you ever imagined states that nobody knew what's happening?
Exactly. There? Like look
just
at
anyway.
Like who would have thought what's his name? Charlie Poppy from Edo and like
look at what Edo State is doing now. Crazy, Charlie Poppy,
Desiree, all of them.
Rema. You understand?
It's crazy.
But like, so I've stayed in Sokoto before. I know the kind of talents I Sokoto. From Jaisla to Dino Z to Skido. There are some people I'm genuinely looking like, if these guys come out, there'll be a problem.
Serious problem.
You get me? So like, we know Port Harcourt has that spotlight on it, but I'm sure there are states that might probably be even more wicked than PH. There. But
let's give it to PH for now. So Earth Song was basically that song that really puts the eyes on you and, you know, that spotlight on you. And people started to notice that, okay, there is somebody like this in this industry.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, like, what's one, I want to call it a revelation, but what's one revelation that you had that basically changed, like, your narrative about what the music industry was before you actually had that and after, obviously, up till now? Mm-hmm. Like, what has been different? You know, you thought it was like this, but it's really, really not like that.
Come again with the question.
Okay. So, Earth Song, people started to know you because of a song, because of this particular song.
Yeah.
What's one thing you thought what would have happened? Or was, I want to call it a revelation, as I said, what's one thing that basically you thought was something, but it's really not as it seems anymore?
In the industry.
Yeah. In the industry, around the industry, with the fans, with the music, just generally
around the music. I think for me, it should be the fact that there was this this mentality that music like mine cannot blow in Nigeria. Mm. Or they don't really listen to them. Or, they don't, Nigerians need to like good music.
Mm.
I did believe it. I used to think it was true. But after coming out and seeing the response from people, they actually do like it. But the thing is that the people that are dominating now are doing a certain level of work. Like, I was thinking about something today. I was saying, if I come to you now and you tell me you don't know me, it's my fault. If I come to you and you tell me you know me and you don't like my music, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You get me?
Okay.
So I don't believe that. Like, I used to have this mentality that, oh, more. It's like these people don't like to listen to lyrics. It's a lie. They do. They do, like Nigerians do. The thing is that it's not what is in their front right now.
Oh, yeah.
So just like how the main Afrobeat artists went out of their way to make sure that they put that Afrobeat where it is today. You cannot just wake up and just get what you want because you feel like you deserve it.
Mm.
It's bigger than learning how to play guitar, piano, singing, writing good songs. It actually is bigger than that. Marketing. PR.
There's so much that goes into it.
That's why I said it's my fault if you don't know me. It means that I have not done my part well. I've not done enough PR for you to know me. Till today, people are still coming and saying, oh, thank God I just found Wizard Chan. I'm trying to do my part. I've not done enough, I won't lie to you. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
I have not done enough. I've not done up to like 2% of what I am supposed to do PR-wise. There are reasons why, financial reasons and this and that.
Yeah.
But like, you can do more. So my mindset was, people don't listen to our kind of music, but it's a lie. Just because we are not the forefront right now of what Nigerian music, music is being exported outside.
Yeah.
So we have to just keep, we have to keep trying until we have investors that can invest in someone like me and or like any other person and be like, okay, we believe you. Here's a big budget. Here's a $1 million budget. Push your P. You get me? Because it's all marketing at the end of the day. For you to know anybody, do you know the amount of PR I've
gone into? Marketing, yeah.
That's not like, Twitter is a good PR hub. Yeah. Instagram, it's a good
still
PR
marketing.
Hub. You know, those still. Are like, for me, like the biggest, mostly Twitter. You know, you have to like get influencers. They are very important. For me, they're the, like the most important side of like musicians. The, these are the influencers. Without them, I don't know how easy it's going to be. I mean, maybe we'll find a way, but like I know how important it is for you to like have like that PR around influencers, people that have influence on different people, because there's only a good amount of people that you have.
Yeah.
So I come here, I want to tap into your fan base. I can try to get you to post my stuff and talk about my stuff, get him to post my stuff. That's me spreading. And if you have 1 million people, maybe I can get like 100,000 to come to my side. You know, share, they call it a share update. You take from me, I take from you. And that's, that's it. We just need to
if you're not doing music, what you have been doing?
Oh my God. Maybe it's cooking.
Are you serious? Yeah. You have to cook.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Family of a chef. My mom is a chef.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I won cooking competition in Sokoto camp now.
Are you
I was
sure?
Only boy, yeah.
Later, you're only boy in the something.
In the plateau 3. Anybody Sokoto 2019, they will tell you.
And you won.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. I'm not fighting with you. So people say that I want to ask about your opinion on this. People say that music is something that you have to dedicate your entire life to.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Is that something that you've always known you've always known that?
Always known it. Like, what do you think music is? Music is your life. It's your life. I started making music. I started going to studio 2011. I blew up in 2022. It's my life. Music had never paid me till 2023. I spent every single money I've made in this life
on music.
It's my life. Even times when I was so frustrated, I'm like, I'll not do it again. I couldn't leave it. But you know that time you're saying that you're not going to do it again? That's when the best songs come to you. That's when like the best song come, the best melodies, they come to you, they speak to your ears. That's where all your angels and all your demons will come to you and be like, how far to go to this? Listen, yeah, you come after, hear this melody, yeah, don't sing them. Am I? You will hear it, you can't sing it, you're just whining yourself. Anybody that truly loves music was never really, really a musician. Maybe he was looking for something there, like something apart from the, like, that is maybe money or fame. That's not you being a musician. You know, musicians are like vast, we're like instrumentalists, producers, artists. We can't leave it. That's the truth. And for me, I have this mentality that I'm looking for money because I need to make sure my family is good. And I'm also talking about my immediate family that I'm going to build.
Yeah.
Wife, kids, whatever, you know. But I know one thing is that I just have to keep making music. And the money will come. I don't have to bother about if music is going to make me popular enough or whatever. The moment I'm bothering so much about it, then I'm never going to get it right. The only thing that bothers me now is like when you put out music and it's not selling. I mean, I'm a human being, so I have to feel, oh man, what can I do to like get it to this next place? Well, like you really don't have control, that much control over that. Just do your PR as much as you can. I hope that, you know,
gets to the right ears.
Ancestors will just put you to the right ears.
So demons and angels.
Oh.
Now you've brought it up, so might as well talk to me about that. That's one of my favorite songs right now. Literally, I posted it. I'm serious. Should I post it? Who even put me on this song? okay, Excel posted it.
Oh.
And it was that particular part, like the second verse. I'm like, anger who is management. Like, see this nigga, for God's sake. I literally went, I ran, because I knew that you were going to, I knew that you were putting out music soon, yeah. Because I had spoken to somebody about that. And he said that you, and the song came out recently, and I saw it on Excel, so I'm like, yeah. That's the way. And since then, I think I've listened to it every single day since I heard that snippet, since I watched that video. Right. So yeah. One of my favorite songs. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't even know if I want to talk about it anymore, because just from the conversation we've had, I feel like I just have a sense of where that would have stemmed from.
Oh, what do you think?
I don't know. Like, just generally, just it's just really life.
Yeah.
I mean, in the context of the song, yeah. That's what it is. But even just having this conversation is still, like, yeah. Is the truth. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. Yes. I've never said what I've not experienced in my song before. So if you really want to know what Wizard is going through,
yeah, just listen
to the lyrics. If I'm depressed, you will know. If whatever I'm feeling, I don't think I've ever... Like, I won't say... I have $1 million. I don't have it. shit, bro. I'm not a hearty. Yeah, I pull up where? I'm here, house. Pull it up. I don't have any 5 bitches. I'm a lonely guy. I love it.
Hey.
You get me? So it's just me. It's my mind space. So if you're asking about demons and angels, I was really angry at someone when I was making that music. And it's me, I was angry at someone that I cared about to a certain extent.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I just take my emotion and put into music. You know, but it wasn't just about the person, but I mean, like, there was a lot of things I was angry about at that point in time. But like, you know, when someone you care about, maybe family member, friend or something, now adds to that anger, it just explodes into something.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like generally about the person, that one person. But it's like that person was just like the catalyst.
Icing on the cake.
Uh-huh. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, just that's why I said that anger management. In that line, the anger management is me locking up myself in my room, making myself to avoid some disrespect.
To avoid some fucking disrespect, okay? I respect it. Anyways, what's next for you? What's the rest of the year looking like for you? Any projects?
How to bleed people's ears. I want to bleed everyone's ears.
Yes, okay. We're ready.
So yeah, my EP is coming out.
Okay, interesting.
Next month. I mean, 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks from now? So
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. After that, I'm dropping. I might drop like more. For this year, I'm just going to drop the music.
Music back
because
to back.
Something happened. I wasn't able to like drop music after doing Earth Song for last year. So one or two. Can't really talk about it.
You need to step back and do behind the scenes work before.
I respect it. Some people were like, is it one? Nah, it's not one hit, man. I don't even do hits. I just make music. Like,
you know, like hits. Drops mic.
Yeah, I don't do hits. I don't go to the studio to say,
I want to make it.
No, I'll just go there and say my problem, and I know that somebody is facing that problem.
Somewhere else.
And if that should get to that person will be like, we already say my problems. I've got to.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I respect it. And I'm so happy that we had this conversation. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Thank you for coming. Probably invite you here after the EP comes out. But we'll give it some time so that you have many more. What's it called? Yes, exactly. I love the stories. Thank you guys for joining me on another episode of Oshikoya Speaks. This is Jen Next, episode 1. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.